Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Well, welcome, Worcester Naz family, to the Worcester Naz podcast. This looks a lot like our Sunday morning message this week, but we just wanted to dive in a little bit further into some of the things that we talked about on Sunday morning, and that's what this podcast is about, just going a little bit deeper into the things that we talk about on Sunday morning, and then sharing that with your groups or in your home or as you're traveling, just some way of going a little bit deeper into the things that we talk about or touch on a Sunday morning message. So I have with me today Pastor Joel, who gave our Sunday morning message, and we're just going to dive into some of the things that are on your heart beyond what we were able to talk about on Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, it does feel very, very similar.
Did you get shoveled out from the snow?
Shoveled out, not a problem. Snow blowed out, maybe. Tried to use the snow blower as much as I could and the shovel as little as possible, but yes.
I should have brought a pitcher. I put my teenager to work. I don't think Lena shoveled anything, but my son was out there shoveling the walk, and he just loves snow so much. I thought it was appropriate that he would get the experience of doing some of it.
It might have been the same at our house, too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I did help contribute to it a little bit, but yeah, we're all dug out. We're back here doing the things that we do here at the Naz. So looking forward to gathering everybody again together. Gathering Absolutely. Is one of the main things that we do. And whenever we miss that opportunity to all be together in person, I always am very much looking forward to the next
one. It just feels off when we're not together. It just does.
It does. On Sunday, we enjoyed sitting here, me, you, Andrew, talking through the message that you prepared. A couple things in there that we just touched on and kept on moving across. One of those was you mentioned when we're talking about faith under pressure, going through tough times and what that means to carry faith with us, even when things don't feel good. You had mentioned that you'd gone through a bout with cancer and what that was. You didn't get into it a whole lot, kind of assuming that most people had a context for what you were talking about. For those of us that might be newer to the Naz or even newer to knowing you, or we haven't been hanging around you enough to know, what was that journey for you? And can you tell us about faith through that journey?
Yeah. So 2014, actually was diagnosed with breast cancer, which is a little bit unusual for a guy. And even when it's in a guy, being in somebody as young as 40 years old, I had a lot of fun with that at the time because the medical community called me young.
Yeah.
And of course, my kids and all the young adults I hang out with say 40, you're like over the hill old. But
I was going to say, the only thing that I say I can't be at 42 is young, but for cancer diagnosis, you are.
I was. Yeah. So that happened February, March-ish of 2014. And completely like out of the blue, wasn't expecting it. I'd had a couple symptoms actually a few years before, but didn't think it was anything in regards to that. But then just came back. And so, that was a journey that lasted, like I said, February through about June. February through July was kind of like diagnosis through chemo was the total span of time there. But it was interesting and it was wonderful at the same time, that the peace that the Lord gave me through that journey. One of the things that I mentioned on Sunday was that when we have trials, there's a couple opportunities we have there. We have one, we have an opportunity to give a testimony.
Right.
And the second thing is that we have the opportunity to comfort others the way God has comforted us. And I think I shared a little bit about the comfort part when I talked about visiting somebody else. But really one of the biggest testimonies, two real big testimonies that came through that trials, one, the peace that he gave me in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to, not obviously it was still very significant. Nobody wants to go through that.
No.
Still a little scary at different times, but ultimately, and I can't give that glory to anybody else except for the Lord. Like there was no human reason for that peace in the middle of it.
Your first feeling when you hear about it, is it fear? You feeling overwhelmed? Like what was that initial experience like?
The initial experience was probably, not to be like super dramatic about it, but it was probably more about walking through the journey, like with my family,
right?
Like telling my wife and kids,
right.
And there wasn't a part for me where it was like, I thought this was the end or
right.
that type of thing. I actually had other family members, which may be partly the reason why I had it. Mm. There may have been some genetic stuff going on there, but had family members who had breast cancer, had surgeries, treatment, been through it, lived the rest, live full life after that. So there wasn't that feeling like this is it.
It's a battle you were familiar with. Yeah.
But like, as far as talking through with my kids and my wife and that type of thing, that was obviously pretty heavy for them. So that was probably the heaviest, scariest part of it. But again, it was just this sense that we're going to get through it, and there will be a testimony, and there has been,
right,
of his faithfulness through it all. Not just the peace in the midst of it, but just the healing and beyond what God's done.
When you first face some of that, you ask yourself a lot of questions. You ask God a lot of questions, mm-hmm. and we're talking about a faith journey, and this is when our faith is tested. What were some of those questions for you like, and how did you process through those?
Some of the questions, I don't even know if you consider them even faith-based, but just, what have I done in my life, like physically maybe to bring this on, like unhealthy habits and, things like that. Just those natural, how could maybe I have prevented this, that right. type of thing. I think in trials, a lot of times it's natural for us to want to find somebody or something to blame.
Right.
And probably for me, it was more looking at myself, blaming myself, than it was blaming God or getting mad at somebody else. But there was still that why, you ask the why question. But again, I think God was faithful even right from the very beginning of the whole process of just giving that peace and just trusting that we'll get through this and we're going to be okay.
Yeah. You went through chemo, lost all your hair, that kind of thing. And for a guy your age to have a full head of hair, that's, sometimes we can be kind of proud of that.
Let's just say I look a lot better with hair than without.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
And so that is part of the journey, you know, where everybody's aware that you're going through something. What was that like? Were there people that came alongside you that didn't recognize it until you were at that visible stage and then came alongside you, or were people there early? What was your experience with the body of Christ like through that time?
Well, it was, people knew, most people knew pretty early in our church body, and with me being in a pastoral position,
right?
Things spread pretty quickly, and they spread quickly because people were praying for us,
right.
praying for me, praying for us. And so within Worcester Naz church body, everybody knew pretty soon. And of course, family and friends knew right away. It was interesting. I talked about being able to bring some comfort. There was also another story where I think maybe I missed the mark a little bit. Mm-hmm. I missed an opportunity to maybe testify, not necessarily bring comfort. I was actually at the bank, was inside the bank, not just through the drive-through, had to do some business in there. And the one teller who was taking care of me, the other tellers there knew me personally. This one did not.
Right.
And when I handed her my ID, timing-wise, I had to renew my driver's license when I was bald. And so I handed her my ID, and she made a funny comment about it. And I tried to not even go there because I didn't want to make her feel bad, but she kept pushing. I was like, well, it was actually had to do with cancer. And she immediately thought that I shaved my head to come alongside somebody else who was going through it. She did not instantly think it was me.
Again, you're too young.
Yeah, too young, too healthy, too whatever. Yeah. And then, but it was just, it was kind of awkward because she didn't let it go. And finally I had to say, well, no, I was the one that, that, and then she just like looked down and didn't say anything more. But looking back on that, I had that opening, even if it was by accident, to really testify more to God's goodness and his faithfulness through it. But it had become so awkward at that moment. I just kind of, I just did my business and left. But it was one of those where I wondered, did I miss the mark there? An opportunity to testify. And that's, but that's one of the things about our trials is, you know, God doesn't create them, but he'll definitely use them if you allow him to. And I think that was one where maybe, maybe not, I don't know. I might have had opportunity to give more testimony to the trial I'd been through.
Yeah.
But didn't seize that opportunity like I wanted to.
I think it's John 10:10 where it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. James really gets into that about not blaming God when temptation comes your way. The Lord isn't the one tempting you. Was there any more that you wanted to share about God being the one that comes to give us life and give it to the full? And there is one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I do see cancer as something that destroys so many lives and just takes so many things from people. And God is doing something else. And we talked about him being restorative and giving us good gifts, but
There's always that temptation to fall to the lies of the enemy, to focus on self.
Yeah.
And even in the midst of a circumstance like that, nobody would fault somebody for being, you got to take care of yourself and do what you got to do and those types of things. But, still just trying to, even in the midst of a trial, we don't have to look very far to see all the blessings that are still there, all the things that God has poured out on us. And, he is the giver of good gifts. I think one of the things we need to think about though, and I think Nate mentioned this in a message some years ago, is that we have to be careful that we're not the ones defining what good is. Scripture says all good gifts come from God, but we often say, well, something good happened, so it must have been from God. That means we're defining what good is. I think a better way to say it, and the way I think Nate hit it in that message years ago, was everything from God is good. Not necessarily everything that we think is good is from God. Does that make sense?
Right.
Because that's when we define what good is, good means God. Good from my perspective means God answers my prayers the way I want him to answer my prayers.
Right.
Good from God's perspective might be he waits to answer a prayer, or he maybe even says no because he sees a bigger picture, a better picture.
Right.
And so we just have to be careful of us defining what good is versus what's God's good.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
That we're in James chapter 1 and in verse 17 is what we're talking about. Whatever is good and perfect gift comes down to us from God the Father who created all the lights of heaven. He doesn't change and cast a shifting shadow. Right. Everything that's good is from God. Not everything that we consider good is from God.
Right, right. And sometimes things that we might even consider bad or not good or whatever, those could be from God as well.
Right.
Because he sees a bigger picture and we don't always understand it all.
One of the greatest examples of that in the Old Testament, I just read it going through some of the prophets, but I think it was King Hezekiah that was facing a sickness that was going to end in death. And he just cries out to the Lord that he wants healing and wants that healing. And God extends his life a certain number of days. And we would say, good. Like that is good. Mm-hmm. He, during those days, fathered one of the worst kings that Israel ever had, King Manasseh. Mm-hmm. And part of me always kind of wonders, God numbers our days. He knows when what is best for us overall in the bigger picture. And was it possible that maybe Manasseh, he was looking to prevent the evil that Manasseh was going to bring.
Yeah.
And ultimately God works even through that. Like the evil doesn't originate with him. He is not the one coming to steal, kill, and destroy. That the good gifts are from God, but ultimately what we call good might not be known for a little while, whether or not it really was good.
Right. No, that's a very good point.
And I think the ancient Greeks and Romans had this idea that you didn't even really call a person good until their life was over because of that very fact. We don't know if what he experienced over his life was good or not until his book is fully written.
Yeah.
And what is it, a song that we sing or something that we've talked about where if I'm not dead, you're not done. As long as I've got life and breath, you know, my story is still being written. Right, God is involved intricately in that story.
Absolutely. One example, I didn't share it on Sunday, but one of the bigger trials in our lives was trying to have children. We thought, hey, let's have kids. And like, it's just going to just happen. And it was about 3.5 years before Lisa was pregnant with Hannah. And I would have said, that's not good.
Right.
That's not good that we had to wait that long. But that was probably the single time of most growth. I didn't say that very well, but it was,
it was the
period of my life where I grew the most spiritually, were those 3.5 years crying out to the Lord, depending on him, seeking him. And had we had a child as soon as we wanted to have a child, I look back, would that growth have happened?
Right.
Who knows? And quite honestly, we talk a lot about here about not making idols of the gifts that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Knowing myself personally, and even being younger in my faith at that time, might've been very easy for our children to become idols in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think about that a lot. And his answer might have been no for those 3.5 years or wait. And I would have never classified that as good during the time. But I look back now and I can pretty assuredly say that was a good thing.
The testing of our faith works patience.
Yes.
It produces patience in our lives. And patience is a good. It is a good character quality to have, and it is from the Lord. And he can use the testing in our lives to produce that in us. I often think when people ask, okay, I have a calling to ministry and how would you go about that? And I almost want to tell them, don't take the path I did because there was so much process and so much testing of that call and the patience necessary. And I think early on, I want to say I was like 26, 27, pastor preached a message about King David. It just brought up King David in a message and talked about how he was anointed. And then it was 10 years of running for his life till he was ever king of anything. And even then it was just king of Judah. And eventually God gives him all of Israel. And I was like sitting there with this call to ministry on my life, not knowing what to do with it, not really asking the right questions to the right people, and really knowing what to do with it and being like, dear Lord, please don't let it be 10 years. Like, I can't do 10 years of this. Yeah. And it was nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think that God probably used that as a prophetic word in my life. Like, I have not forgotten you.
Yeah.
There is purpose in the process. There is purpose in the testing and the waiting and the questioning and like having those doubts and fears and questions and all of that is part of the faith journey. It's what galvanizes our faith against what's coming at us from the outside. And like you're saying, waiting for those children and then realizing this is fully a gift. This is not anything that I worked up on my own or like that God invites
nothing
us.
I'm entitled to.
Right. Yeah. I'm entitled to it. And God invites us to be part of that creative process, but he's also the good gift giver. And it is directly from him. And all we can do is offer it back to him and say, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for this incredible gift that I waited for, that I prayed for, that I stressed out about, you know?
No, King David, I mean, David's a perfect example of this message. Even you think even from the time he was anointed until he was king, the number of trials that he, you know, as Saul's chasing him, trying to kill him, think about the temptations, even within the cave when he could have taken Saul's life,
right?
How tempting that must have been, considering all that had happened leading up to that.
And your best buddies behind you, like, do it.
Do it. Do it. You got the backing of everybody with you. And the world would have justified, you know, doing that for him at the time. But again, so often those trials, because we're under pressure externally, it can make it a lot easier to give in to the internal pressure, the temptations of taking an easy way out or just turning our back on God completely, whatever it might be. But David's a very good example of how those two intertwine.
Yeah. When you're tested, when you're going through tough times, people can allow themselves to do things that they might not otherwise do, give in to urges that they might not otherwise give into. Right. I'm weak. I'm stressed. I'm under the gun. I'm all of this.
It's a good excuse.
It is a good, it feels like a good justifiable excuse for a number of things that we might be weak in.
Yeah.
Paul talks about saying, like, I boast even more my weaknesses because I know that where I'm weak, God is strong. Yeah. And so really in those places of weakness, we have the opportunity to point and praise and be like, God is strong where I'm weak. And even through this trial, I'm not just going to give in to my weaknesses because I'm weak. I'm going to point to the Lord. Right. So,
it's the continual process of pressing into our relationship with the Lord that allows for standing during those trials to happen. It's, you know, we don't show up at game time and all of a sudden become a great player.
Right.
The people that perform well at game time, it's because they've been putting practice in, they've been putting time behind the scenes. Nobody sees all this effort. And then when game time comes, when the pressure's there, they're able to flourish and to have success. And that's, and not saying that I did it perfectly or whatever, but as we pursue that relationship with him and that intimacy, it's the practicing. And then when the trials come, game time and all that preparation, all that time with him, all that time in prayer, all the, just trying to live a lifestyle of worship now comes to the top.
Right.
And that's when we are able to trust in him, to have faith in him. Doesn't mean it still doesn't hurt. There's still not issues and concerns and all that, but there's a whole different outlook to it when we've been building that relationship all along.
Yeah. The gold refined by fire. That was something that we talked about, and just how God uses those pressures and trials of our life to pull out that gold in our lives. And he produces the good stuff. He also purifies it and brings it to the top.
Yeah.
So really good. I very much have been enjoying James. James is a book that, like, if you read through it fast, it feels kind of heavy and hard hitting, but if you take it slow and in doses, there's so much richness there, and it connects to so many other areas of the Bible. I'm just enjoying this process of pulling some of that out.
It's going to be a good several weeks going through this
faith that works. We're going to continue through a couple more Sundays on the faith that works, applying that faith that's tested and tried and true in our lives and focusing it on the Lord and how he can use it in our lives. So thank you guys for joining us for another one of these podcasts. We enjoy spending this time with you, and we're looking forward to gathering together next Sunday, all together as one body. So see you soon.